The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
8:14, beautiful Monday morning. First Monday in December. We are into December, in case you lost track of all that during the holidays. Highs today only in the 60s, and right now we're hanging around 48 degrees if you average the temperature throughout the area. And we're joined by Ramon Antonio Vargas, editor and reporter at The Guardian, to talk about the latest on a couple of different things. How you doing, Ramon?
Good morning. I am good, trying to get back into the swing of things.
Yeah, it's tough after the long weekend. Let me get to this text real quick while Ramon is on. Can you ask if he's got an update on the state police raid of the Archdiocese offices? Do you know anything new?
There isn't much. There isn't much new. I know that it is ongoing. I know that it is active. You know, unfortunately, the length of the investigations are, especially one as complex and covering as long a period of time that this one is. Obviously, those investigations are measured in years usually, as opposed to weeks or months. But I know there's, I can confirm as of a few days ago that it is ongoing and active for sure.
All right, let's talk about this Anthony Odiong. Boy, you know, and I'm just reading through your story here, and you can tell us the whole story. You got, you know, at least 10 minutes to do that, Ramon, maybe a little bit more. But I just can't imagine getting anybody to give me $25,000. Can you?
No, I
really can't.
And
I like to think that I'm a kind of personable guy. You know what I'm saying? That I could, I'm likable, but not. But boy, this guy. Tell me the story. Go ahead.
I mean, I think that also what's remarkable about that, as best I can tell, it's not like $25,000 for a specific cause that you're helping someone else or that you're going through like a difficult, I think it's just 25,000. Like, hey, here's 25,000.
Yeah.
Best I can do, you know,
I believe
what you want with
in
it.
You and the apocalypse that's coming in Africa and everything else that he's calling for, but I'm getting ahead of myself. This guy, look, you know, he can sue me if he wants, but this guy seems to be, although a Catholic priest and a sexual predator, he seems to be, just like your basic religious con man. And Anthony Odiong, if you want to sue me, go ahead. But truth is an absolute defense. Go ahead, Ramon.
I think it could be a painful discovery process if he did that.
Not to mention, yes.
But no, look, he's obviously Anthony Odiong, as we've discussed here, has been facing criminal charges in Texas. And the simplest way to put it is just for allegedly abusing his position of authority within the church to pursue sex with vulnerable women. And they're made vulnerable, I guess, by his position to them as like a spiritual advisor and kind of like the person guiding their spiritual journey. Right. What came out right before the holiday last week at a bail hearing, and he was trying to get his bail reduced. And one of the pieces of evidence that the authorities use to sort of argue in favor of keeping the bail in place at $5.5 million is that he has, you know, fathered at least two children with women whom he approached under the guise that I described. Obviously, it's not so much that. You know, it's obviously a violation of his, you know, promise of obviously priests are required to be celibate. So it's not so much a violation of that's why it came up in the hearing. It's more that, I mean, that is about the strongest proof, uh, of, of the pattern that he is accused of engaging in, right? Obviously, when you have a child that is living, breathing DNA evidence, especially when the mothers are people whom he initially approached under the guise of, hey, like, I'm kind of like the friendly local priest, and, you know, let me get close to you to kind of foster your, to help you foster your kind of relationship with God. And obviously, it's, well, if you remember last year, around this time last year, when he, Anthony Odion, was removed from ministry in the Archdiocese of New Orleans, at St. Anthony of Padua and Luling in particular.
Say that again. Please.
He was removed from ministry around this time last year at St. Anthony of Padua in Luling. You may remember that he initially tried to argue that that the reason was because he was he was opposed to the lifestyle of the LGBTQ plus community that Pope Francis since then and at the time has been sort of actively like courting and trying to make the church more welcoming to members of that, of those communities, as they as the church kind of tries to offset some of the losses in terms of numbers that it's had and reduction of population that it's had over the years. And then, if you may remember, he referred to those people as he quote unquote said that we were members of those communities. He insulted them as, you know, monkeys and chimpanzees and all sorts of elephants, if I recall correctly. Obviously, very offensive, very homophobic language that he was using at the time. And it's just remarkable because, by all indications, at the time he had pretty big secret as far as pretty big secret. Not to mention, pretty big sin if you are if you believe in. In those aspects of the Catholic doctrine, for sure.
Let me take a break real quick, because his problems in Texas go beyond violating his vows, correct? It goes to violating the law, and he is, as I understand it, deep trouble in Texas. I also want to talk about his imminent apocalyptic coming of the apostles in Africa, and he intends to eventually speak directly with Donald Trump and advise him on the apocalypse. We'll talk about all that when we come back. 820, this got nothing to do with Donald Trump. This is just what this guy saying, this con man saying. 821 traffic now, WWL. 826, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Quickly back to Ramon Antonio Vargas, editor and reporter at The Guardian. Up until last year this time, Anthony Odiong was at, what's the parish?
St. Anthony in Luling.
In Luling. Subsequently, he's under arrest in Texas. And it's not just in Texas, it's more than just violating your priestly vows, correct, Ramon?
Yeah, no, he's accused. Texas has a law which criminalizes sexual contact, I guess, between a member of the clergy and a parishioner who is in that clergy member's spiritual sway, and especially usually in like kind of a spiritual advisor, like congregant role. And so he's accused of violating that with he's facing basically seven counts of seven of those charges with three women. But then they've identified at least nine women whom he sort of pursued under the same kind of pretense, though not all of them have led to charges, mainly because not all of them have been in Texas where that law is in effect.
So he's constructing, according to, this was the DA, I guess, or authorities that
yeah, so it,
tell me about that.
Correct. So it was at a, this information all came from a bail hearing in last week where he was trying to, he's being held $5.5 million bail. He can't afford it. That's just given the volume of charges against him. So he was arguing for, a bail that he was arguing would still be high, but that he could afford, and then would basically hang out in the jurisdiction until just out of custody until the trial came. And during that hearing, you had a detective testifying, and you had some arguments made by prosecutors as far as the access to the support that he would have if he were able to get out, and then basically make a run for it, right? He has one of the things that came up. One person testified that they you know, that that they could personally give $25,000 out of their pocket to basically, you know, fund his just kind of being out. They said, you know, I think one of the quotes that was really stunning was like, "We love you, Father." "Thank you, Father. We love Father." Right. And this is somebody that's accused this is somebody that's charged with, you know, basically sexually abusing, you know, these vulnerable people, around him, right? "He's a dear friend of myself and my family," was one person who testified.
And for people that are saying deport him, he's apparently sitting on a bunch of money building according to this detective, a luxurious home in Nigeria. This is pretty good for a simple priest, huh?
Yeah, that's correct. And he's also a U.S. citizen. So that's also obviously difficult to deport him at this stage.
So he's probably going to – they're not going to give him bond because even though his passport's expired, he would be a flight risk. So chances are they got the goods on him and he spends the rest of his life in jail, Ramon. I know you're a reporter. You don't like to speculate, but that's the way it would seem.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's two outcomes, right? He goes to trial. That's a lot of witnesses lined up against him, a lot of evidence lined up against him. I mean, considering what they've already aired, it tells you that, again, that's the tip of the iceberg so far. So he either goes to trial or he pleads guilty and kind of, you know, pleads for leniency. So we'll have to see what happens.
And real quick, we only have a minute left. He is part of the ongoing bankruptcy case here in this archdiocese, correct?
That's correct. There is at least one of the victims identified in the case has filed a claim for damages into the bankruptcy. Now, what's interesting is whether one of the things that remains to be seen is whether the criminal investigation into the archdiocese and whether it covered up decades of sexual abuse, mostly targeting children, whether there is a link between that investigation and this one in Texas. We will see whether one day Anthony Odeong is interviewed or is a witness in that case.
Let me wrap it up with this, Ramon, if I may, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. He was at St. Anthony of Padua in Luling up until last year at this time. Now he's facing life in prison in Texas. Accurate?
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate your time as always, Ramon. We'll talk to you again as soon as you uncover something else. I appreciate your work, Ramon Antonio Vargas, editor and reporter at The Guardian. We'll talk about keeping you safe on Cyber Monday when we come back. Right now, a minute late, time for WWL First. 8:47, 13 till 9. It is Cyber Monday, which follows. Let's welcome in Alex Hammerstone, our friend, director of advisory solutions for Trusted Sec. Hi, Trusted Sec. How you doing, Alex?
I am doing very well. Had a great Thanksgiving. How about you?
I am doing great. So we had a nice Thanksgiving as well. Browns play in Denver tonight or in Cleveland?
I think in Denver. I should know that.
Last week it's in Denver. Tim, pardon me, tells me last week you had the snowstorm there on the banks of the what lake is it?
Lake Erie,
yeah. I know, because the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I believe you can sit and have a cup of coffee right on Lake Erie, can't you? If I remember,
you absolutely got it.
Yeah, I sure did.
It's a pretty nice lake.
It is. It is a nice lake. It's a lovely lake. Let's talk about online shopping. Today's Cyber Monday. Was yesterday anything or not? I know it was Small Business Saturday.
It just goes back to the days when people, you know, they didn't have as much internet at home, right? Yeah. They had much faster internet at work. And so there was always Black Friday, right, the day after Thanksgiving.
Wait a minute, really?
Cyber Monday.
I didn't realize that. That's why? Because people would do it at work because the internet connection was faster at work than at home?
Yep, that's right. And, and people would rather, I think, shop, and they're at their desk anyway, but that was the time to really kind of shop on the Monday. You know, the Monday you're back in the office, you've got your fast internet connection, and you're going to shop away.
So let's talk about ways to stay safe if you are doing some shopping online, if you haven't already done it. And along those lines, are people shopping online earlier, Alex?
They are. I mean, you see these deals that come out, you know, a lot of the retailers have kind of, you know, Cyber Week as opposed to just Cyber Monday. And, you know, people will have more and more, you know, deals that are kind of stretching out, trying to really extend that holiday shopping season so they can make a little bit more money.
So let's talk about ways to stay safe. What about, should you stick with familiar or popular websites?
So generally, yes. Although I always want to be clear, I mean, there are a lot of, you know, small businesses we want to support for sure. But, you know, when you go with kind of the known brands, the bigger companies, they often will have much better return policies. You know, you're more likely to have a good supply chain and get the products that you actually ordered. But I think the number one piece of advice I like to give people when shopping online is to use a credit card, not a debit card. You know, right, because a credit card has all kinds of consumer protections. And if you're scammed, if you lose money on a credit card, you notify the credit card company and they'll do an investigation, but you're not out the money. With a debit card, your money is gone, and then you have to open up an investigation to get the money returned to you. And it's much different, right? Because I don't know about anybody else, but for me, if my checking account were wiped out, that would make for a really uncomfortable December.
Yeah, and if I have that conversation with my grown kid one more time, I'm going to pull the three hairs that I have left in my head out. What about when it comes to making sure the site's secure? Does that little the lock in the browser mean anything, or when you check out?
It did for years, right? I mean, it meant that it was, you know, using a kind of a secure transmission protocol. But these days, just about every site's going to have that lock, right? I mean, you know, most websites are going to be using HTTPS. So again, it's important to make sure that you're looking for it. But it's a lot like seatbelts in cars, right? They all have them now.
Okay, I got you. What about looking into the seller? And is that where Amazon helps because they vet all the sellers? Let me take a step back. When you do business or when I do business with Amazon, I'm not doing business with the third-party company. I'm doing business with Amazon, or am I doing business with the third-party company?
So it's you're doing business with Amazon, right? That's who's taking your money and the transaction. But there are also a lot of sellers that sell through Amazon. And there are a number of ways they may do it, right? The seller may ship things directly from their location. A lot of sellers will kind of send things, their items, to Amazon, and then Amazon will then ship them to you. So there's a number of ways that it works, but, you know, when you're going on Amazon.com and sending your money there, you know, it's going to Amazon. It may end up going to a third party after, but it's going through Amazon.
Yeah, they say you should never lie, but sometimes when they ask you on shopping forms for some personal information, if they require it, is it better maybe not to disclose a lot of that stuff?
I mean, they're going to need your address, right? They need your address and where to ship things, you know, whether that's, you know, your home or your office or a P.O. box. And they'll need your name, right, so it matches up with a credit card number for shipping and things like that. But they shouldn't really need much more information about you. You know, I don't like to give out demographic information. They don't need to know, you know, my gender. They don't need to know how old I am. They just need to know that I'm giving them money and they're sending me the product I asked for. And so outside of that,
go ahead.
You know, outside of that, I'm fine with not sharing anything.
Yeah, there's a certain big box sporting goods store that I don't go to anymore because every time you check out, it's a problem. What's your zip code? Don't worry about what my zip code is. I'm paying you cash. Do you want to sell me the weight plates or whatever the hell it is or not here? You don't need my phone number. Just sell this stuff to me. What about paying with your phone in stores and things like that?
I think it's great. It's so convenient. You know, especially younger people have really, you know, kind of adopted, you know, Google Pay and Apple Pay and those kind of pay on the phone methods. Yeah, I think they're a great solution, especially if you don't want to use a credit card. So using something like Apple Cash can be great. You know, there's a lot of security there, and it does protect you in a number of ways. So I'm all for paying by phone. You know, life is all about balancing risk and convenience. And, you know, it's of course, I think it's safer than walking around with a giant stack of cash, right? It's not like you can stop payment on the serial numbers of your cash if it gets stolen. So I think anything where you're, you know, using electronic payments is going to be a much better idea for people shopping in person.
Yeah, I'm so concerned with anything that even approaches sketchy online because it can appear legit online and be sketchy. So if it looks sketchy online, then I think you're really begging for trouble. What about gift card exchanges?
So gift cards are tough. So gift cards, you know, come up a lot in different kind of fraudulent scenarios. You know, one thing to remember is you should never be paying somebody with a gift card, right? So the IRS will never ask you to pay your tax bill with gift cards. A lot of scammers will kind of call you and try to get you to buy gift cards and then have you send them pictures of the gift card, right, with the scratched off code. And that's so prevalent that if you go to, you know, kind of the major drug stores or the major big box stores and you buy a gift card, there's oftentimes a warning that pops up on the point of sale device, you know, letting you know that gift cards are really a common scam. When it comes to gift cards exchanges, you know, that's no big deal, right? I mean, people that you know are passing out gift cards. You know, personally, I'm always a fan of if you're going to give a gift card, go ahead and give the cash because the number of unused gift cards just sitting in desk drawers that never actually get spent or end up with a $3 balance on them is pretty large. But certainly if somebody you know wants a gift card and there's a place they'd like to go, then I'm all for it, right? I mean, it's a way to kind of store value in a safe way.
But to your point, it really is kind of silly. If I'm going to give you a gift card, I'm basically giving you cash. All I'm doing is limiting where you can spend it.
I agree, but that's my personal view, right?
Yeah, that's mine too. Let's talk about VPNs real quick if you're using a public Wi-Fi.
Sure. So VPNs, you know, a virtual private network. And if you think about it, you know, the kind of layman's terms is it kind of creates a tunnel between, you know, your computer and where you're going. And so, you know, using them in public is important. You know, it's a lot of people use them for other reasons, right? Because with a VPN, you can kind of change what your location is. So if you're traveling, right, so you may have a certain streaming service that only works in the U.S., but you're going, you know, overseas, so you want to watch your shows. People will use a VPN to then kind of show that they're in the U.S. or something like that. But it's certainly important. But again, it's we're kind of at the point now where the credit card fraud prevention and a lot of the other things that I'm not saying people shouldn't worry, but things are getting in many ways safer.
Thank you, Alex. I appreciate your time, your expertise, as always. We'll talk to you again, I'm sure, before Christmas. And look, 90 days has passed. You can't return Jameis Winston.
Yeah, I know.
Have a good day. All right, 8:56, 4 till 9, traffic now, WWL.